Here, we're going to continue here in just a few minutes after, but I do feel like the Lord has impressed something on my heart, and I believe afterwards that we're going to have a mighty move of God. And in fact, we might just play this song again. We'll pick up right where we left off here in a little bit after I get done. But I believe that God has something for each and every one of us in this place tonight. I believe that with my whole heart. Does anyone else believe that? Who came in here with some expectation tonight? Anyone come in here needing something? Anyone come in here needing something? A family member needing something? Anyone? I know that there are some things going on in my life, in y'all's life, and we need a touch of God in our life. How many would agree with that? Amen. Amen. Tonight, it's funny, when I felt impressed to get up here, I felt so strongly I actually honestly had forgotten that my title when I first got up here earlier, but then I said, take one more step, and my title for tonight is Take Another Step. I guess it was just in my spirit when I started talking, but that is my title for tonight. And first I want to tell you a testimony real quick that last night, we were putting up Christmas lights, and I had gotten a new knife, I guess, about a week or two ago, and it was really sharp, and it would actually shave your arm, which is, like, that's how sharp it was, just to give you an example that I'm not lying. So when I was putting up the lights, I decided I would use my knife to pry up a staple. And so I was holding a Christmas light with one hand. I'm on this, like, wiggly box, and I shouldn't have done that in the first place. But I was standing there, and I'm up like this, and I'm prying on that staple with that knife. And about that time, that knife, I was putting a lot of pressure, and it slipped. And it went straight into, like, right here of my hand. And I just knew. I was like, oh, man, I just cut my hand wide open. Like, you know that moment when you're like, I don't even want to look at it. Because I'm not really that queasy of a person, but I just knew that it was going to hurt. And, you know, it was a sharp knife, so I was like, I probably didn't feel it. Gash my hand wide open. And I look down, and there's this tiny little mark. You may not even can see it from where you are. And there's that tiny mark there. And I looked at my hand, and I was just like, wow. I was like, that had to have been God. Because I know which side of the blade was facing my hand. And I know how much pressure that it put to leave a little bitty bruise right there. And it's deep, like the bruise hurts, but it did not puncture any skin whatsoever. Isn't that amazing? Isn't his protecting hand amazing? Isn't the Holy Ghost? Can you even imagine how much stuff we would get into without the Holy Ghost? How much junk would happen in our lives if we didn't have it? You ever thought about that? How much God protects you from stuff that you don't even know? I'm so thankful for that. Tonight, I'm going to read from Ezekiel 47, 1 through 7. It's quite a bit for me to read out loud, but I feel impressed. I just need to do it, so bear with me. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. So the water was up to his ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000, and he brought me through. The waters were to the loins, which was like the waist, okay? So afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. In other words, he could not touch the bottom, so he had to swim. A river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And then I'm going to go to 47:12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And I hope you're sitting around people you don't mind talking to tonight, because I'm going to ask you to do a lot of talking, okay, to your neighbor. So I wish somebody would look at your neighbor and say, I'm going somewhere. There you go, perfect. Say, I'm in transition. Make sure, I'm trying to make sure everyone's doing it. See, I got a pretty good perspective up here. So this river in Scripture is speaking of progression, okay? So tell your neighbor, I'm making progress. All right, tell them, I'm not everything I want to be, but I'm making progress. I'm not where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. Good deal. Y'all are so communicative, whatever that means. This river went from ankle deep to knee deep to waist deep to a river you couldn't cross waters you had to swim in. Tonight, I feel in my spirit to tell someone, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. I'm on my way. You can splash around in ankle-deep water if you want to, but I've already made up my mind. If there's more out there, I'm going to it. I'm not stopping at ankle-deep water. I'm headed. If I know there's more, if I know God's got more for me, I'm headed there. I'm not going to play around in shallow water. And, whoa, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold up a second. So, I just want to tell someone tonight that you're going to make it. You're going to power through. You may hit a rough spot. You may have hit a rough spot, and it may seem like you're going to drown. But I came to tell you that you're not going down. You're not going under. God has invested too much in every single one of us to give up on us now. He's not going to let you drown. He's got you. I'm talking to somebody right now who is in a hard place, and the devil's telling you it's not worth it, that you're not going to make it. But I came to tell you that it's going to get better. It's going to get better, I'm telling you. God is with you wherever you're at, and he will not fail you. He is not going to let you down. Young person, it doesn't matter what you're going through tonight. It doesn't matter what pressures are coming your way. God is with you. He's not going to put too much. He's not going to let you drown. He's going to keep you above water. Praise God. I heard this statement, and I'm just going to read it. It says, sometimes you're on your way to the honey. You will get stung a few times, but it's worth it. And I got to thinking, is there anybody that loves honey in here? I'm a new person that likes honey. I never have liked honey in my whole life, and now I kind of like it, so it's kind of weird. But I like honey now, and I thought that was so awesome. Because, you know, if you're out there getting honey, Abby's grandparents actually had all those, the big crates with a bunch of bees in them. Hives, yes. They had those, and I tell you, I went there one day, and I had worn a suit that covered me from head to toe. And I looked in there, and there were so many bees in there. I was just amazed, and they were flying around. Fun, kind of a funny story. It's a bad story. But her grandparents got used to checking them. And they were like, you know what? They're like, we don't have to wear this uniform. We can go check it. And they're used to us checking it. They're not going to sting us. Let me tell y'all. By the time they got done checking, they were on the gator. One of them was on the gator. Grammy was leaving Papa, and Papa was running from all those bees. So I'm telling you, make sure and wear your uniform, no matter how you, those bees are protecting something in there. So, but it's worth it. The honey is worth it. Back on track here. So there are some things that you may be struggling with right now. And as time goes by, you're going to look back and say, I can't believe that I was ever even worried about that. How many of y'all can testify to that? I'm only 24, but I can testify to that. I was going through something, and I was like, I'm never going to get to God. You're going, I can't take it. And then I look back a couple years, and I'm like, oh, that was tiny compared to what I'm into now. You know, amen. But I'm thankful that God's going to bring you through it, no matter what you're going through. Tell your neighbor again, I'm going somewhere. There you go. Now we're getting excited now. The ankles speak of a starting of something new. And I love that. The ankles speak of starting something new, but not really anything new happening yet. You just kind of got your feet in the water. You just kind of got, you're barely in there. Let's put it this way, okay? I'm a Christian, but I'm still wrestling with sinful desires. I'm a Christian, but not too sanctified. I'm a Christian, but still selfish, and everything's about me. In the water, I'm in the water, but just barely. I'm in the water, but still in control. I'm in the water, but I still got a bad temper. I'm in the water, but still have issues with anger and unforgiveness. I'm in the water, but still watching things that feed the old nature. You see where I'm going with this? Barely in the water, you're only ankles deep. You're in the water, but you're still in control. You like that, don't we? We're in the water, but we're still listening to music that stirs up old desires. We're in the water, but still living the desires of the flesh. I heard a preacher say one time, I'm almost nervous to say this because I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but, you know, pastor's been preaching that that's kind of part of it, so just get ready. Preacher said one time, I heard him say, you can tell folk who are stuck in ankle-deep water. The water is always muddy around them because they're always stirring something up. They're always murmuring and complaining about something. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's too loud. It's too bright. It's not bright enough. The seats are too hard. Oh, the seats are too close together. Everyone's squishing me. The preacher is so stinking long-winded. People who are stuck in ankle-deep water get jealous when other people get blessed and promoted. Woo! Tell your neighbor, you better take another step. The next level is the knees. The knees speak of worship and prayer and humility. Here, the attention begins to change from yourself to Jesus. No longer worshiping the wants of the flesh, but now seeking to please God. The important thing to note here is the deeper you go in the river, the less flesh that you see. The deeper you go in the river, the less control you have. The deeper you go in the river, the stronger the current of the river becomes. The deeper you get in that river, the farther you get from the shore. The deeper you get in the river, the less pull and influence the things of the world have on you. Young person, I'm telling you that you can't stay at ankle-deep water. You can't stay there. You got to get to the river. You got to get deeper. You got to get on your knees. You got to get in water that's a little higher where you start feeling where you can resist the temptations of the world. You got to get on your knees. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, take another step. The third level reaches the waist. In other words, he progressed to waist-deep water. He got in waist-deep now. This speaks of the reproductive powers. It speaks to the fact that as children of God, we should go beyond just being a Christian. We should go beyond just being saved. We should go beyond that and go beyond even worshiping God. We should also be reproducing ourselves. Jesus reproduced himself with 12 disciples, didn't he? He reproduced his spirit inside of him. And I believe that every child of God should progress to the point where they are mentoring others in faith. I don't believe there's a stopping point. Can't just stop it. Ankle deep water. Can't just stop it sitting on the pew. It's not good enough just to be coming to church on Sunday and Wednesday, guys. It's time that we start mentoring, we start growing, we start getting deeper into the water. We take that next step. I think it's interesting to notice that Ezekiel was being led into this progressive relation, relation and experience of the Spirit of God. I didn't see it when I first read it, but it kept saying, he brought me again. He brought me. And as you read it, someone was guiding him. Someone was bringing him. And it says, with this in mind, you realize that it was Ezekiel's choice, and Ezekiel had to take the steps, though, to move into deeper waters. To go on, he had to leave where he was. To move on, he had to leave where he was. We don't really like that idea. I don't know about you, but I don't. Sometimes it's nice where you're at. Sometimes it's comfortable where you're at. This is what I believe keeps many of God's people from making any real spiritual progress. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to become responsible. They don't want to become dependable. They don't want to leave the comfortable and familiar, right? They would rather stand in ankle-deep water where God has been than to have to swim into the unknown where God is doing something new. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that. But I'm trying my best to repent and push forward, because it is tough to move out of your comfortable zone. It is tough to move out of the familiarity when you may, this is perfect. This feels right. This feels good. It's not too much pressure, and just kind of. But would we really rather stand in water where God has been rather than where he's doing some new things, where there's a new river flowing and there's fresh water flowing right in the middle of the river, and we're standing on the little murky little sidelines, just comfortable where we're at because we can touch and we're in control. The river's not going to get me from here. Is that where we want to stay? I don't know about you, but I'm going to take another step. I'm going to take another step because I can't survive here. I got to get in deeper water. I got to get to the river. I got to get to the freshness and the fresh water. Nothing lives in nasty, stagnant water. Can't survive without oxygen and all that fresh water. The river originates from under the altar. If you read back where I started, it says that the river originates from underneath the altar. You gotta have an altar. And I know we've heard that. That's nothing new. But I'm trying to revive and make sure that we remember that we can't go through life without having an altar. Every single day. I don't know about you, but I need it every single day. I got to find an altar every day, because I know that something has probably ran through this mind. I've said something that I probably shouldn't have said, and I got to have an altar. There is no progress. This is another statement I heard, okay? I always like to give credit. I didn't come up with this particular statement. There is no progress in God without a life of prayer. You will never be greater than your prayer life. That hit me, y'all. Because you can only be as great as your prayer life is in your walk with God. We try and get around it. We try to avoid that particular, it's just prayer. No, it is prayer. It is an altar experience that we've got to have. We have to have it. Touch three people, okay? Not one person this time, three people, and tell them, I'm going deeper. With some authority, tell them. Tell them you can stay here if you want. You can stay here if you want, but I'm going deeper. Just scream it to everyone around you. I'm going deeper. You can stay here. I can't make you come, but I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going deeper. I can't afford to stay here. I've got to go deeper. It is the responsibility of our pastor, and he does a phenomenal job of it. And the Sunday school teachers, they do such an incredible job to stretch us and to expand our thinking. That's their job. They've got to do that. We can't stay, because obviously, like we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes, We want to stay there. We want to stay in comfort, but we can't afford to. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sunday school teachers, for stretching us and pulling us out of our comfort zone. Don't stop, teachers. Don't stop, Pastor. I need pulled out of the shallow water. I need to be revived. I need to be pulled sometimes into the deeper water. Praise God. I need to be stretched. Your spiritual progress will largely be determined by your ability and your willingness to turn loose of your own opinions and your own ideas and to search out and study the Word of God. We can't form our walk with God and our daily lifestyle off our own opinions. We can't afford to do that. That's not biblical. We got to get in the Word to figure out what we need to be doing every day. We got to listen to our pastor. We got to have a prayer. We got to have a prayer walk, and we got to have an altar. And we have got to read the Word of God like we have never before. Many of God's people have spent their lives in ankle-deep waters because they were not willing to go on to receive and follow the call of their life. Many. Not few, many. Even in my short life, I've seen many of my friends settle in the shallow water. And eventually they end up on land and about as far away from God as I've ever seen them. Because it's either one way or the other. There's no lukewarm. It's one way or the other. And I can't stand it. I can't hardly bear it. We can't afford to stay in ankle-deep water. We got to sell out. Some are stuck in the ankle-deep waters because of traditional ways of doing things. Some are stuck there because, young people, I've seen some of my friends. Their parents were only this much in, so they're only going to go that much in. No, you got to make it up in your mind. You know what? I got to go. Parents, I'm sorry, but I got to preach to these young people. Look, you got to study the Word of God. You got to go where God is calling you to go, young people. You can't afford to stop in the ankle-deep water. It doesn't matter who your parents are. It doesn't matter who is before you. You got to get to the deep water. You got to keep taking another step. People that have been in the church for many years, listen to this young guy that probably doesn't know as much as you, but I'm telling you that we can't get stuck in tradition. We have got to move forward. We have got to step forward. Yes, we've got to hold on to some doctrine and we've got to remember, but we cannot become stagnant in that position. We have got to take the next step. Tell your neighbor, why don't you take another step? Tell your other neighbor, neighbor, I love you. And you can splash around in this ankle-deep water all you want to. Tell them. Don't look at me. Tell them. That's right, I'm going to make you say it. If you want to, but I'm going swimming. Tell them. Say, I'm going swimming. You can play around in this little kiddie pool if you want to, but I'm going swimming in the deep end. I'm going to the river. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to where the current, the Spirit of God leads me and guides me in everyday walk. I've got to get covered and saturated in His presence. I'm not stopping. Say one more time, tell them I'm going swimming. If the musicians would come, I'm about to be done. After Ezekiel had reached the swimming waters, after he came to the place that was uncrossable, so big, so vast, so deep, so fast, and he was brought back to the bank where there were many trees. And I'm here to tell you that once God has liberated you from the bondage of religion and tradition and staying in your comfortable area, and it's bigger than your traditions, it's bigger than your problems, it's bigger than your issues, He's bigger than your opinions. And once you have reached a place where you admit that you don't know it all, and that's a hard place to get, and you're willing to state that to God, not just to maybe your wife or maybe your best friend, when you're willing to admit that to God, God, I don't know everything. I'm not a know-it-all after all. Then you have reached a place where God can use you and you become qualified to show others the way out. Young person, I know, because I'm not that far out of where a lot of y'all are at, that it's easy to think that you know it all. it's easy to think that you have arrived at your maximum Holy Ghost self. It's easy to think that when you go to NAYC that that is the maximum. But I'm here to tell you that you got to get to the point where you submit to God. You submit to His authority. You say, God, I don't know it all. I don't actually know what to do all the time. I want you to show me. When you show Him and you open that door in your heart, He's going to flood in. I believe that with my whole heart. He's going to show you things that you've been searching for. He's going to give you answers. He's going to fill the voids in your life that you've been searching for, and you've been trying to fill the voids in your life with other things. You've been trying to pack it in with worldly things. If you'll empty that junk out and you'll admit to God, you know what, God? I'm ready. I don't know everything. Show me. Show me what you want. Am I right, parents? Can I get some parents that have maybe gotten to that point that said, God, I don't know everything, and He opens up the floodgates to you because you were willing to admit that? Can I get a witness there? Praise God. So I wondered, as I almost said earlier, I may have said it, who was it that led Ezekiel out? The Bible says and refers to that it was a man. Tell someone, I'm a man, or lady, say I'm a lady, say I'm that lady, or I'm that man. There we go. I did that in my notes, not thinking. Tell them, there we go. So say I'm that person. Let's stick with that. I'm that person. I'm here to help you. Look at that person. You tell them. You mean it. Don't say it nonchalantly. Mean it. Young people, tell your person next to you, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm going to help lead you. I'm going to help you. Come on, isn't that what we're supposed to be? That's what Pastor has been preaching, that we got to help our brothers and sisters. We got to help them out. We got to lead them and guide them. We got to help them. I haven't been, I had all this for you to tell your neighbor, but now that I look at it, it's a lot. I haven't been all the way, but I've been quite a ways. I haven't gone everywhere, but I've gone somewhere. I don't know it all, but I do know something. Tell your neighbor, let's go swimming. Could we stand up as the music begins to play? I've got a little bit more, but I just want us to stand up. Look at that neighbor and say, let's go swimming. Tell them, it's time to take another step. It's time to go deeper. This next step, I believe, is going to change someone's life tonight. This next step means a whole new dimension for someone tonight. This next step means the end of some old stuff. So everybody say, hooray! So the end of some old junk, some of the old battles that you've been fighting for years. This is the end of it. This is the step that you're going to take to overcome that battle. For somebody, this next step is going to break you out of some things that you have been robbed of. Come on, somebody. This next step is going to break loose, break open the gates of what hell has been stealing from you. The devil has come in, been stealing stuff from you. And this next step to deeper water, it's going to take you, open those gates and those things that you've been robbed of and that have limited your experience and held you back. I believe that it's going to break tonight as you choose to take that next step. I believe, like the story that Sister Meyer says and uses about the butterfly, somebody's getting ready to fly. Somebody's been in the caterpillar stage. What a bummer stage. But you've been in that caterpillar stage and you knew that something was changing. You felt it inside. You had that notion. You had that thing. You're like, man, something don't feel right. Something's got to change. I'm restless. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. Why am I going through this? Something's got to give. But you just couldn't seem to break loose into that next level. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to break into the butterfly stage and out of the caterpillar. Out of what you've been fighting. This next step is going to break it wide open. Look at somebody and tell them, the next step is taking me out of some stuff. What we're doing right here is we're creating an environment, an expectation for something to happen. You're speaking it into existence as it comes out of your mouth. Look at somebody and say, this next step is taking me out of some drama. There you go, young people. This next step is taking me out of some misery. Somebody, come on, say it with some oomph in it. This next step is taking me out of this mud that I've been stuck in. And it's taking me out of this. And it's taking me closer to the river and closer to Him and into my walk with God. Praise God. You're getting ready to step into a current of the anointing that is going to lift you some places. Whew, praise God. Some places that you can never get on your own. And you're getting ready to step into a current of the anointing. Whew. Come on, I wish that some people would start making their way down here to this altar. That as you stake that step and those steps down here, you would imagine that you are breaking out of everything that has been troubling you. Come on, somebody, step out with faith. Step out, take that step. Step in to what God is calling you to. You're getting ready to step into a current of the anointing that is going to accelerate you into progress. You're getting ready to pass some people that have gotten comfortable and satisfied. You may have to wiggle. You may have to break loose, but you're getting ready to break out of that comfort zone. You're getting ready to break out of that cocoon and to break in and have wings and flying into glory. You're getting ready to go deeper than maybe anyone in your family has. You're getting ready to go deeper than maybe any of your friends are going. You're getting ready. You're taking that step right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish you'd lay hands on somebody and you would declare over their life, take another step. Take another step. Hallelujah. You're one step away from glory you've never seen before. You're one step away from an anointing that you have never experienced before. Woo, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, yes. Take that step. Take that step. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.